Sunday, December the 3rd, it was 10 o'clock when I awoke. I went in Lyndon's room, and there was Jack, with a cup of coffee and deep conversation. Lynn had made his morning visit and left. I climbed in bed and had my coffee. I listened to Jack describe his visits to college campuses. He is an endearing person, so much devotion and enthusiasm and fire and laughter. We read and talked the long McNamara story, Senator McCarthy in the primaries, the whole spectrum, and watched TV. I was feeling much better, though still a little squeezy. I put on a hostess gown and went upstairs to the solarium. It will be a juggling act to take care of our household this week, a time full of warmth and joy and confusion and a certain amount of strain, calling for long hours and understanding from our staff. A seated lunch had been arranged in the solarium, and about 1:30 we began, Mr. and Miss Robb and Trini, who is adorable, fresh, bubbly, brunette, wide-eyed and a little impish, and Linda and Chuck. Just as we'd finished the main course, Lucy came rushing in and says, "Daddy says, won't you come down and join him?" So all of us traipsed downstairs, our desserts and coffee following us. And there were Jack and Mary Margaret and both the children. But the children were sleepy, and they left as soon as lunch was over, and the Robs excused themselves to go to the city tavern to get ready for the party. And we found ourselves still sitting at the table, Lyndon and Lucy and Chuck and Linda and I. They found a family conference, unplanned, drifted into, deeply enjoyed, settling nothing. Lyndon quoted me, and it is true, that I'd said we were drifting into the posture of running again, that we were being forced into it, in a way, by all the attacks, by McCarthy and Kennedy and the columns and the polls and the whole hostile array. He himself didn't see that as a necessary outcome at all. He felt that we were heading toward announcing that we would not run. This, I think, the wish was father to the thought. Lucy said quite simply that she was selfish. She liked her father. She wanted him with us and alive and having fun and helping raise Lynn and any other children she might have. In summary, what she said was that he would not have time for us, nor probably would he survive if he ran and was elected for another 4-year term. Chuck was the quietest of the lot, and Linda next. She said simply that she was of two minds. For the country, she wanted him to. She could not see anyone else right now, but she would feel good about taking over. For herself, she'd love for him not to. I think I can describe her feeling by saying it's a sort of a fatalistic belief that however much we may talk about it, he will end by running. As for me, knowing it was no help, no comfort, no guidance to Lyndon, I could only repeat that I wish we could get out, and I don't know how to get out, nor when, nor in what words to frame the decision. When they left to dress for the party, I told Lyndon I was going early, stay a long time because I wanted to meet all of the Robs' friends. Then Lucy could come later. In my black velvet dress, in the borrowed ivory mink coat, feeling like the lady who wore the necklace in the Guy de Maupassant story, I arrived at the City Tavern a little before 4:30. For one of the most memorable and unique parties I've ever attended in Washington. There were about 200 guests, and everybody seemed to know everybody. Betty Beale described it well. Native Washingtonians came out of hiding yesterday to meet Linda Bird Johnson and Chuck Robb. Except for the Johnsons, there were no officials present, no diplomats, no VIPs, and no politicians. Mr. and Mrs. Robb were in line with Chuck and Linda, their son Wycliffe, his wife, and their two small daughters in matching pink and blue dresses, aged 2 and 3, and Trini, a white bow in her long black hair, a white dress. The talk was of old times. I knew Jim Robb in kindergarten. Francis and I used to double date, or we went to Gunston Hall together. Several I met were in their wedding, and vignettes of old Washington. One couple related how they had eloped to Rockville riding in the trolley car. And everybody remembered when the trolley used to go the wrong way around DuPont Circle. There were old Washington names, and Miss Augusta Conrad, whose father had been Solicitor General under Grover Cleveland, and Thomas Woodward, who had been Maritime Commissioner in Franklin Roosevelt's administration, and an elderly and delightful Mrs. Shepley, widow of a congressman, who had more than 60 years ago accompanied Alice Roosevelt to the Philippines, and later been a guest at the wedding. To cap it all, there was a Mrs. Augustine Todd, whose great-great-great-grandmother had been the first White House bride, Lucy Payne Washington, the sister of Dolly Madison. In fact, genealogy was much the order of the day. One lady asked me if Lyndon weren't related to the Deshays of Kentucky, and yes, she was too, through the Breckinridge line. How Mrs. Johnson would have loved it. There were old Washington names, the Ed Burlings, the Mark Sullivans, the son of the columnist, I remember. And Libby Rowe, I latched onto her, and we stood together while I made it a point to meet everyone who came in, though carefully staying away from the receiving line. And there was a Mrs. Donald Johnson, who was one of the 12 children in the Gilbert book about cheaper by the dozen. Still feeling a little squeamish, I was only having a Coke, although it was a lovely buffet table. One sweet touch was an elderly colored woman who had taken care of Chuck for the first 8 years of his life. The Robs had bought her a ticket from Phoenix, and she had come on for all the festivities. Lucy came in with her daddy, wearing a white brocade, with a white ribbon in her hair, too, very much like Trini. And she was telling everybody, I'm going to enjoy myself this time. I'll have all the fun and none of the trauma. I enjoyed it wholly and left with Lyndon close to 6, but we were not ready to go home. Vignettes of the rest of the day. Lyndon and I going into the apartment house where Wright Patman lives and walking into his small, lonesome apartment. We'd announced ourselves only 5 minutes before, and sitting down for a 30-minute Sunday afternoon chat, just like we were the neighbors next door. Our Lyndon and I walking into St. Dominic's Catholic Church for a quiet private service, and Lucy meeting us there with Lynn asleep in her arms, and one of the fathers held Lynn while the three of us knelt for our small private service. Yeah. It's an easy, comfortable atmosphere. They seemed to want to help. We all talked of Cardinal Spellman and how much we would miss him. But the funniest vignette of the day was about noon. It was Patrick Lyndon in his walker going round and round the dining room table, and Lyndon in his walker, that is, his executive chair, pushing himself backward and holding out his hands to Lynn, who persevered for the complete circumference of the table, while the rest of us howled with laughter. Back from St. Dominic's, Lyndon went to the office to look at the ticker, while Lucy and I settled in the West Hall with Lynn. There lay Lucy on the floor in her next-to-best blue print cocktail dress, flat on her stomach, making faces and singing rhymes with Lynn, who looked solemn and gurgled with delight by turns and drooled on her and patted her. And what was I thinking about? That she had only 2 cocktail dresses and would have to wear this one some other day this week. It would have to be clean. It wouldn't look well. There is no Martha in this child. The most important thing a mother can do is enjoy her child, and maybe teach him, and certainly take care of him. I tell her she should have changed her dress first. She looks at me with a mixture of amused tolerance and reproach. Time passed, and it was nearly 10 when Lyndon came, and the three of us sat down for dinner. Lyndon enjoys Lucy more at this age than he did in all her babyhood or childhood, I believe. In fact, it's since she's been about 17 that they have become friends. After dinner, I had the complete luxury, a fire, a massage, and gun smoke. But announced my recovery from this cold and stomach bug or whatever by beginning the new week with exercises.